The Athletic.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast, which is brought to you by The Athletic. I'm Mark McGerrigan, you can find me on Twitter at FPL General. I'm recording on Tuesday ahead of Game Week 31. The FPL deadline is on Friday this week at 6:30 PM UK time. The next three game weeks have a Friday deadline, so keep that in mind. We've got Champions League and Europa League action midweek, so it's best to hold off on your transfers until Friday this week. The headlines from Game Week 30, West Brom put 5 past Chelsea. I couldn't have timed the Chelsea defensive treble up any better. Rafinha got yet another attack in return, but Patrick Bamford blanked in the 2-1 win for Leeds over Sheffield United. Ruben Dias picked up his 16th clean sheet of the campaign against Leicester. Liverpool were excellent, beating Arsenal comfortably 3-0 with Diogo Jota scoring a brace from the bench. Salah scored his first goal since Game Week 24, while Trent Alexander-Arnold posted a 12-pointer with an assist and 3 bonus. I wonder if Gareth Southgate has Trent in his FPL team. Southampton came back from 2-0 down to beat Burnley 3-2. Danny Ings was back in the goals on his return to action. Popular captain Harry Kane did the business, scoring twice against Newcastle. Ollie Watkins scored his first goal for 8 matches in Villa's 3-1 win against Fulham. Trezeguet scored a brace from the bench in that one, much like Jota. Marcus Rashford and Mason Greenwood were the goal scorers in Manchester United's win over Brighton. Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison blanked against Crystal Palace despite having plenty of chances. And finally, Messi Lingard continued his scintillating form with another 12-pointer against Wolves. But unfortunately, Mikel Antonio picked up yet another hamstring injury, which forced him off after just 35 minutes. You can subscribe to The Athletic right now for a special price of £3.99 a month for 6 months. That's 40% off the full price of a subscription. You'll enjoy great analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, as well as ad-free versions of all our podcasts. Simply visit theathletic.com/FPLpod to take advantage of this special 40% discount. That's theathletic.com/FPLpod. Game Week 30 shoutouts. Welcome to the club, Gylfi Sigurdsson. This is one of my favourite kind of shoutouts. It's where the player comes off the bench and manages to play 59 minutes. So Sigurdsson came on to replace the injured Gomez and failed to get to 60 minutes. So he got just 1 point in that Crystal Palace game. Very, very close. Andy Robertson owners must have been sweating when that substitution happened. He just about made it to 60 minutes, which got him the clean sheet and also got him 1 bonus point as well. So Robertson got 7. It could have very easily been a 1-pointer this week. There was a couple of notable mentions. El Ghazi, 61. Trossard, 62. Aguero, also 62. Lucas Moura at Spurs, 63. And Patrick Bamford, 64. So as I mentioned before, I think it's always... I like these shout-outs because it makes me realise, and you, the listener, realise which players have been substituted early, because obviously we don't want that from our FPL assets. A quick review of Game Week 30. How did it go for me? I should have included this in the headlines that Mark's wildcard was a disaster, as wildcards often are in FPL. So, you know, I spoke on the last week's episode that I was leaning towards not wildcarding, but I guess I was fighting it off all international break. I spent the whole 2 weeks thinking about doing it, and I didn't hit the wildcard button until Friday. So I've got no regrets. That's the first thing I'll say. I mean, on another occasion, it would have scored big against the template, and people would be calling me a genius rather than the clown that I've been called this week. So very disappointing first week, but you know, I'm not going to judge the wildcard after just one game week. Hopefully the new trips will serve me well for the final 8 game weeks of the season and get my rank heading in the right direction. I finished on 48 points. That saw my rank drop from 16k to 24k, which was the 6th red arrow on the bounce. I forget what a green arrow feels like. Hopefully it will finally come in game week 31. The good and the bad, there wasn't much good. I did get the captaincy right, which I've been doing for most of the season. Kane got me 26. Thank God for that, because it would have been absolutely disastrous if I didn't captain Kane. Rafinha with 6 and Bruno Fernandes got an assist. Apart from that, nothing else. I benched Diogo Jota, had him stuck first sub with 12 points, so that was frustrating. He'll come into the starting 11 in game week 31. Mendy, Alonso, Azpilicueta, a total of 3 points against West Brom. I don't think any of us seen that coming. Shaw and Reguilon, disappointing blanks there. Son only got 45 minutes. When I seen Son on the bench, I was praying that he would stay there so I could get Jota in, but it wasn't to be. And Bamford and Calvert-Lewin also blanked. So, you know, looking back on the picks, you know, I still stand by most of the picks that I made. It's one of those where it could easily be, you know, a terrible score in game week 30, and the very same team could score very well the following game week. So I'm still confident in most of the picks, and I'm looking to add one or two, as I'll talk about when it comes to the transfer section. I've got a brand new watch list, having just wildcarded. So when I was building the wildcard squad, when it was complete, I just wiped the watch list completely and built a new one today, now that all the games have finished in game week 30. So I'm just going to run through the list. Defenders, midfielders and forwards. There's no order of preference here, they're just in order of price. These are the players who will be in my thoughts for transfers over the coming game weeks. Defenders, Trent and Robertson. Trent was excellent in that game, so he is one of my top transfer targets this week, and I could end up doubling up with Robertson at some point in the near future. Cresswell, Stuart Dallas is still on the watch list, even though I think a lot of people lose Stuart Dallas on their wildcards this week, but I was very impressed watching the highlights of that Leeds game. He could have easily had two or three goals in that one. You know, he's still an out-of-position option. Yes, there might not be many clean sheets, but I can see more goals from Dallas between now and the end of the season. Fofana from Leicester is also added to the watch list. They've got a nice run of fixtures coming up. He's the cheapest route into their defence at the moment, so I like him as a pick. And Phillips at Liverpool, he's only 4 million. He's been starting quite a few games recently now due to the injury issue, so I think there's questions on a Liverpool triple up later. I will come back to it, but Phillips is in my thoughts. I've only got Jota from Liverpool, which doesn't feel like enough now after that Arsenal performance. So I'm pretty sure my transfer this week will be to get a second Liverpool player. Midfielders on my watch list, Salah, who I sold on the wildcard, and Sadio Mane. You know, looking back, maybe should have kept Salah, but I was, you know, I prioritised Bruno and Kane as my big hitters, and I'm quite happy to keep those two. But Salah may come back at some point in the near future. Madison is back from injury. Mentioned that Leicester have those good fixtures. I like him as an option. Mason Greenwood is on the watch list probably for the first time this season, or at least since the start of the season when we thought he would be very good value. Nathan Redmond and Armstrong both were very impressive in the FA Cup game, and then they followed that up with attack and returns at the weekend. So those two are in my thoughts as well. They do have the blank in 33 though, and they've got some tricky fixtures coming up, so I'm unlikely to go there. Jesse Lingard, probably should have got him on the wildcard last week in hindsight. And Jared Bowen, two West Ham midfielders on the watch list. There's actually three. Soucek is still on the watch list as well. And just a few more midfielders. Neto from Wolves missed a huge chance in that game. Should have been on the score sheet to add to his assist. And Pereira from West Brom. I think any player who gets two goals and two assists against Chelsea, we've got to take note. Pereira seems like a player who gets 20 points 1 week, he'll get 10 weeks of two-pointers, then he'll come back in with another 20-pointer. Forwards on the watch list, not that many really. Jamie Vardy and Iheanacho from Leicester. Danny Ings back in the goals. Again, that blank in 33 is a bit of a spanner in the works though for Danny Ings. Lacazette, Cavani. I like Cavani now because Martial looks like he could be out for the rest of the season. Rashford continues to have problems as well, so Cavani could get an extended run in the starting 11. Mikel Antonio, who I sold on the wildcard, is on the watch list, but that is all dependent on his injury status. You know, he could end up being out for a couple of weeks, so I need to keep an eye on that one for, you know, in the press conferences towards the end of the week. Because one of my options was, you know, I got Bamford back in on the wildcard for the Sheffield United game, and I was always going to look to sell him after that for either Antonio or Iheanacho. So that Antonio injury is possibly another spanner for me in those plans. And finally, Chris Wood, also on the watch list. He has, I think he's got 3 goals in 3 games now. So I always like Chris Wood as a cheap third forward. So that's a watch list. I think there's 24 players on it at the moment. I will update it again in next week's episode.
that was a really worrying time being a Rangers fan, not knowing if you'd have a team to support or not.
The Scottish Football League's only acceptable position will be to place Rangers FC into the third division.
It wasn't so much a football match you were involved in as a test of manhood.
And with your support along the way, we will get back to where we belong.
From the bottom to the top, the journey is over. Rangers are back.
It all ended spectacularly in Europe when he had an argument with Rangers fans in a bush.
It's a huge, huge honour for me to be sat here now to be the manager of Rangers. And, you know, the excitement levels are very difficult to contain at the moment.
Drill by Arfield, Connor Goldson looking to score again, and he has scored again, and Rangers are in such a good place now.
Everybody in Scotland was talking about 10 this at the start of the season, and the only number they're now talking about is 55.
To get the full story of the fall and rise of Rangers, subscribe now to Beyond the Headline.
Moving on now to the Twitter questions. Thanks, as always, to everyone who sent them in. Lots and lots of questions this week, given that a lot of people are activating the wildcard. Question from Chris Allman. Is it now time to use Kane as a set-and-forget captain until the end of the season? So, this, I think it's pretty viable to do so. Kane has Manchester United this week. I think he's got Leicester on the final day of the season. But apart from that, the fixtures are pretty good. And we know he's banging form. So I think you can leave the armband on Kane from now until the end of the season. And it should score pretty well. But for me, you know, I went for Bruno Fernandes alongside Kane on the wildcard. And Bruno does have some very nice fixtures. I think Burnley at home. He's got Leeds away. So I think I'll end up rotating between the two of those guys. And if Salah comes back in at some point, he will definitely come back into the captaincy conversation for me as well. But I think some people will just leave the captaincy on Kane now, even against Manchester United, and just captain them right throughout the season. And it should score pretty well. I haven't ruled out doing it myself, but I think this week I'm probably looking to go elsewhere with the captaincy with Spurs playing against Manchester United. I think it could be an opportunity this week to maybe go somewhere else with the armband. I mentioned Leicester on the final day of the season for Kane as a, you know, a tricky fixture, but I think I remember Leicester Spurs having a 8-goal thriller at one point at the end of the season a couple of years ago. I think Kane has a pretty good record against Leicester, so that wouldn't scare me off giving him the armband on the final day of the season as well, particularly if he's, you know, in the running for the Golden Boot, which I'm sure he will be. So yeah, I think it's viable, but the likes of Salah, Bruno are probably going to, you know, take the armband off Kane on certain game weeks for most managers. Question from Josh. After you wildcarded in game week 30, what advice would you give to game week 31 wildcarders? Good question. How to think about this. What advice would I give to people this week after I wildcarded quite disappointingly last week? So I think one of the first things that came to mind was don't book in a transfer. Now, what I did was I got Bamford back on my wildcard for 1 week, and then I booked in a transfer of Bamford out to Iheanacho or Antonio this week. And in hindsight, it's probably easy to say I shouldn't have done that, given that Bamford blanked. But on another day, you know, I fancied Leeds to score anything from 3, 4, 5 goals against Sheffield United. It wasn't the case, but I just felt I wanted to have Bamford for that fixture. But now it's a bit complicated because Bamford, Iheanacho or Antonio, you know, and we've got question marks over Iheanacho's game time. We've got an injury to Antonio. So now I'm probably going to end up being stuck with Bamford for game week 31. And then I've got the question, do I start him against Man City or do I bench him? So that would be my advice. Don't book in a transfer. In other words, don't get a player on your wildcard for just one game week with a plan to sell him next week. Just don't get him, would be my advice there. The other thing that came to mind with advice for wildcarders this week, one of the first things you should do is make a captaincy matrix for the rest of the season. There's only 8 weeks left now. So get a pen and paper out like I do, or if you're a bit more high tech than me, make a spreadsheet for yourself. Look at the fixtures for every game week for the rest of the season and pick out who the best captains are. And which players do you want to own in certain game weeks for the captaincy? Because that will help you decide which players to put in your wildcard squad. It's very, very helpful. And you can refer back to that captaincy matrix every week then to take the stress out of the captaincy decision. Some other advice for wildcarders this week, as opposed to what I did last week, I think I would keep Diaz. I sold him last week. I mentioned at the start of the podcast, I think that's 16 clean sheets for Diaz. If my eyes were not deceiving me, I think Diaz has more clean sheets than goals conceded this season. I think it's 16 clean sheets, 15 goals conceded. So in hindsight, maybe I should have kept Diaz. I just wanted to wash my hands of Pep Roulette for the rest of the season. I don't think I'll go back to Man City at all now, because I made that decision on the wild card that I want to, you know, be stress-free every time the Man City team sheet comes out. Obviously, it's a bit scary not having Man City players this weekend when they're at home to Leeds, but, you know, predicting who's going to play is pretty impossible in between the two Dortmund games, so I don't mind that too much. So yeah, I would have kept Diaz probably this week, and Salah as well. I think if I didn't wildcard last week, I would have still had Salah for the Arsenal game, and given that he scored and Liverpool looked really good, I would have kept him, because I think Salah's a very good captaincy option against Aston Villa this week and for quite a few of the game weeks to come. So Diaz and Salah probably would have stayed this week. And the final thing I would say, you know, I think the best advice to give wildcarders is to back yourself. Don't let other wildcard drafts influence yours. And, you know, don't let what you hear on podcasts this week or what you read in articles, don't let it influence you too much. Take it on board, process it. But at the end of the day, build the wildcard squad the way you want to build it. I went, you know, a bit left field last week, you know, going triple Chelsea, going without Man City, going without Salah. I still stand by those decisions. I think that's the most important thing. And I think that's why I don't have too many regrets about the wildcard, because every decision I made was my own decision. And I'm still hopeful, for example, that triple Chelsea defence will come in against Crystal Palace this weekend. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, Salah won't do too much damage if I'm going to be captain in Bruno and Kane. But, you know, Salah could come back in. So, yeah, the main thing is back yourself. Make the wild card the way you want it to be. And don't be influenced too much by other people. Question from FPL Daniel. Kevin De Bruyne, Bruno Fernandes, Salah, Kane. Assuming that I have to ditch one of them starting from the Game Week 31 wild card, which one do you recommend dropping? So I think, to me, this is an easy decision, because Kane starts every week. Salah starts every week. You know, that could be a slight risk now with Jota playing so well, but I don't think so. I think with Liverpool going for top four, Salah will start every league game, or at least most. You know, maybe miss one between now and the end of the season. Bruno starts every game. Kevin De Bruyne doesn't. You know, we know Pep rotates a lot. They're in all the cup competitions, so I would just simplify it, and I would just get the players that will start every week. And so that, by process of elimination, that rules Kevin De Bruyne out for me. And that's why I didn't go with him on the wild card. And I've got no plans to get him in either. Question from Jay. How many Liverpool players should we own? And who is the best Liverpool triple up, if three? So I think I was very, very impressed by Liverpool against Arsenal. So that has changed my thinking. Obviously, I went with one Liverpool player on wildcard. There was always a plan to get a second one in the near future. I kind of left the door open for Trent by leaving. I've got about 4 million in the bank, so I can get Trent in quite easily this week, which probably will be my transfer. So how many Liverpool should we have starting this week against Aston Villa? They've got a very good run of fixtures. So I think if you can, get three. So who would be the three? If you're on a wildcard this week, I think I'd be going Jota, Salah and Trent. I think that's probably the ideal triple up now. Jota is amazing value. Given that he scored the brace from the bench, I'd be hopeful that he'll start getting a lot more starts now. I expect him to start in the Champions League. Trent, he's got the Euros to play for now, and I think that's big motivation for a lot of players at the moment, so I like him for that reason. And Salah, we know what Salah can do, and he's a very good captaincy option. So Trent, Salah, Jota, I think would all be in my wildcard if I was doing it this week. I might end up on Jota, Trent, and then one defender. It might be quite hard for me to get Salah back in. And I don't mind too much not having him, because I've got other good captaincy options. So I don't mind going down the route of Jota, Trent, defensive double up. So maybe getting Robertson in for alongside Trent when I sell Reguilon after the Spurs double game week. The other option then is just to get Phillips at 4 million, who's such good value. Get him in alongside Trent, hope there's plenty of clean sheets, and hope that Jota can do really well as well versus Salah. So I'm not going to fear Salah, because I kind of made that decision on the wild card that I sold him and that I may go without him for the rest of the season. If an opportunity arises to get him back in, you know, I probably will do it. But at the moment, I'm probably not going to get Salah back in this week or next week. The next question comes in from Helen. Is Ederson as a goalkeeper an okay shout to avoid having a City defender on the wildcard? So like I said, if I was wildcarding this week, I probably would have Diaz in there. I think he's the safest pick from the defenders. Will he miss a couple of games? It's very possible if they're going to protect him for the cup matches. But I think Ederson is a fine pick. If you're like me and you don't like that Pep roulette every week, you know, Ederson kind of takes that headache away and guarantees you a route into the Man City defence. I didn't really give Ederson any thought last week because I was between Mendy, Forster or Leno, Martinez, and I ended up going with Mendy. So I still don't think Ederson would be in my thoughts if I was wildcarding this week. I would just get Diaz, I think. And I still like Mendy as a pick because those Chelsea fixtures are really good. Hopefully that was just a blip against West Brom. Obviously the red card played a big part. And hopefully Tuchel gives them a kick up the ass now after what happened in that one. And we'll see them go back to being very good defensively. Hopefully it is just a one-week throwaway game, that West Brom one. Question from Schussel. Can we trust Wolves and Arsenal defences? And who are the best options? I watched the highlights this morning of the West Ham Wolves game. I couldn't face sitting down and watch 90 minutes of it because I didn't have any players and I sold Antonio on the wildcard. Watching the highlights does not fill me with confidence as a new owner of Roman Saiz. I brought Saiz in on the wildcard, probably going to start him against Fulham this week. But they, you know, those goals that West Ham scored, a lot of them were very good goals, but a lot of them were very, very poor defending as well. Wolves looked all over the place, and Nuno did not look happy on the sideline. So do I trust Wolves' defence? Probably not as much as I did last week when I bought Saiz. Do I trust the Arsenal defence? I think I trust the Arsenal defence even less than Wolves. Now that Tierney looks like he's going to be out for a few weeks, I had a 50-50 call to make last week on Tierney or Reguilon, and I ended up going for Reguilon. And hopefully that will pay off now, given that I've got a bit lucky with the Tierney injury. The thing about the Arsenal defence is I don't like how it changes so much. You know, right back changes a lot. Chambers has been in recently. Centre back, Luiz, I think, has had surgery. You know, Mari, Gabriel, it changes a lot. Holding gets the odd game. I don't like defences when it continuously changes from week to week. There's no stability there. So in short, the answer to this question is I don't really trust the Wolves or the Arsenal defence, but you know, hopefully Saiz can do a job for me when I need him over the next couple of game weeks. Question from Timo on the drugs. Best differential for a wild card in defence, midfield and forward, please. So I've gone to my watch list and I've sorted it by ownership to find the differentials. So I picked out one from each position here. Fofana at Leicester, I really like, 0.4%. They've got some really good fixtures coming up, so he is a nice differential. Sadio Mane, who not a lot of people are talking about, and for a good reason. He hasn't been a great FPL pick this season, but his ownership is extremely low, 4.9%. He should have scored against Arsenal. Trent put in a fabulous cross and he got the header all wrong. He's still getting the chances, still getting good chances, and surely we'll see him start putting a few of those away over the coming weeks. So I like Mane if you're down the rankings or if you're down the mini leagues. I like Mane, and I even like him as a differential captain this week against Aston Villa. And up front as a differential, mentioned him already, Cavani, 1.8% owned. So with the issues for Martial and Rashford, I like Cavani as a differential for the rest of the season as well. I like Greenwood as well. I think Greenwood's ownership is pretty low. He's been looking good in recent game weeks. Hit the post at the weekend as well as getting on the score sheet. So Greenwood and Cavani are two options to consider there as well. Question from Bal. Bal is wildcarding in game week 31. Brought in Alonso in game week 30 and loved his attacking prowess against West Brom. Do I keep him as part of my wildcard? I'm concerned about his actual game time. So yeah, I put Alonso in my wildcard last week, and I would still be inclined to pick him on a wildcard this week because, as we've seen in recent game weeks, when he plays, he's fantastic. And when he doesn't play, he often gets 0 minutes. So as long as you've got a decent bench, you know, one or two decent subs on your bench, I think it's fine still to go for Alonso, go for that upside, go for those 15, 16 pointers that he's capable of if Chelsea keep a clean sheet and he gets an attacking return. So I think it's absolutely fine, and I think I still would have Alonso if I was wildcarding this week. Question from Mark Cram. What are my thoughts on Iheanacho? Before this weekend, he looked like a great budget striker to enable funds to be spent elsewhere. But after being subbed early, Madison back and Barnes not too far away, is he too likely to lose his place to get him on a wildcard? So yeah, I think Iheanacho, I think it's a tricky decision now for wildcarders. He's obviously great value. Leicester have the fixtures, but will he keep his place is the big question. And I was kind of eyeing up Bamford to Iheanacho this week, but I've also got those same question marks now, which is why I'm probably going to keep Bamford and bench him and get Trent in instead to give myself another week of an eye test on Iheanacho before deciding possibly to get him the week after. So gut feeling, if I was wildcarding this week, I don't think Iheanacho would make it now. I think there's enough question marks there to avoid and go for someone else who's much more secure as a 90-minute forward. Question from Jonathan Story. If you'd stuck to your original plan of wildcarding this week, now with that little bit of more information, what would your team be for this wildcard? Would there be any difference to what you did last week? So had a think about this as well. I went back and looked at my wildcard squad, and I looked at my squad from the week before as well, just to get an idea of what I'd be thinking this week. And overall, I don't think there would have been too many changes. I still think a lot of the players that I picked last week on the wildcard would be still in the wildcard this week, which is one of the reasons why I went a week early. The changes, I think, if I had a blank canvas this week, Trent would be in. I think Salah would be in. Lingard would be in. You know, Lingard was probably a mistake not getting him last week. I honestly think being a Manchester United fan plays a part here. I think it's harder for Manchester United fans to buy Lingard in FPL, given he was very disappointing for quite a long stretch towards the end of his Man United days before he joined West Ham on loan. So sometimes in FPL, I think Josh on Always Cheating always mentions this, sometimes the game throws you a bone and you just got to grab it whether you like it or not. And I think Lingard is one of those bones at the moment. He's on fire. West Ham are going for Champions League. You just don't overthink it. No matter what you think about Lingard as a player or what he's done in the past, if he's delivering week on week, you don't think twice. You just buy him. And that's what I should have done on the wild card last week. So Trent, Salah, Lingard would probably be a couple of changes this week. I probably wouldn't triple on Chelsea defence after what happened against West Brom. It's slightly concerning given how poor they were defensively, even though they had 10 men for most of the game. So I probably would be on double Chelsea defence this week rather than triple. And the other change would be no Bamford, because obviously he's got a couple of tricky games now. So I wanted him for the Sheffield United game, but I don't really want him for these next couple of games. So overall, the wildcard wouldn't change too much, but there would be those couple of changes. Taking a look now at the captaincy for Game Week 31. So when I built my captaincy matrix last week when I was wildcarding, this was a week that I highlighted that was a bit tricky because Kane and Bruno play each other. And I was eyeing up Jota as captain this week when the FPL website updated on Saturday. So before any games had been played, I set my bus team for Game Week 31 and I put the captain's armband on Jota. And that was before he scored his brace. So that just strengthens his case this week. Now there's always the slight concern, because to me it feels like Mane, Salah, Jota, Firmino, in most weeks there's probably only three spots for four players, so we could see a little bit of rotation there. But like we've seen with Jota, and I said this on last week's podcast, even when he gets a half an hour from the bench, he does damage, and maybe that's when he's at his best, you know, coming on against tired defenses. So I'm leaning Jota captain at the moment, but I'll obviously see what happens in the Liverpool Champions League game, you know, who starts, how many minutes each player gets. And if it looks like Jota's going to start at the weekend against Aston Villa, I think he will be my captain. And I'll probably swerve the Tottenham Manchester United game, which could, you know, could very easily be a 0-0, which a lot of Manchester United games have been this season when they've played one of the bigger sides. So I don't love Kane or Bruno captain this week, which is why I'm probably going to go elsewhere, most likely Jota. The other options, if you own Manchester City players, obviously at home to Leeds is probably the best fixture of the game week, but trying to predict Pep is going to be pretty difficult. Liverpool home to Villa, I think, is the best place to go for captaincy this week. You know, whether you've got Salah, Mane, Jota, I think they're all really good options. I even think Trent is a good option if you're someone who doesn't mind captaining defenders. I think there's a good chance of a Liverpool clean sheet in that one, particularly if Grealish is still out, which it looks like he probably will be. Some other captaincy options, maybe a bit left field. Arsenal plays Sheffield United. If you own Aubameyang or Lacazette, I think they're pretty good options as well. Again, keep an eye on the Europa League starting 11, but I presume Lacazette and Aubameyang will both play that one. And Danny Ings, if you have him against West Brom, I like him as a captaincy option as well. But I don't think many people will go there for the reasons mentioned earlier. So for me, I think Liverpool at home to Villa is the place to go for captaincy this week. Or, you know, if you want to gamble on a Manchester City player against Leeds. But good luck with predicting Pep in that one. So I've noted down a few thoughts here for my possible Game Week 31 transfer. I'm just going to read through them. I'm looking to prioritise getting another Liverpool player after their strong display against Arsenal. I fancy them to fight back and finish in the top four, and the fixtures are great. I can't get Salah back without a hit this week, so I'll probably get Trent in for Luke Shaw. I was going to bench Luke Shaw this week anyway, so I don't mind losing him when I feel like I'm replacing him with a better asset for the long term. If I get Trent in, I will bench Bamford against Manchester City. Another option is Bamford to Iheanacho, but I'd like to give that another week just to make sure Iheanacho starts against West Ham and passes the eye test. Even though Lingard is on fire, I can't see myself getting him in. I've missed the boat to get him on the wildcard last week. I'm hoping Leicester and Chelsea in the next three will keep him quiet. Basically, the reason I'm not getting Lingard, it's not because I don't think I should. I think I should get him, but I need to prioritise, I think, other things like Liverpool players. So that's why I'm probably not going to be able to get Lingard for another couple of weeks. He might come in at some point before the end of the season if he keeps it up. But at the moment, I'm going to have to go without him because of other things that I want to do. I'd love to have Ings for the West Brom game, but the blank in 33 makes that one complicated. Banking a transfer is an option too, but that would mean I'd have to play both Rafinha and Bamford against Manchester City, which I don't love. Now, I wouldn't be surprised to see Bamford get something against Man City. I think he might have scored against them earlier in the season. I could be wrong on that. But again, just how good Man City are defensively. Yeah, you know, they kept Leicester out. I thought Leicester would score in that game. But again, Manchester City proved me wrong defensively. So I would like to have just Rafinha rather than both him and Bamford for this week. What I'm going to do is I'm going to let their European games play out before giving transfers any more thought. But most likely, if the deadline was in 1 hour, I would be getting rid of Luke Shaw and I would be buying Trent Alexander-Arnold. Thank you for listening, folks. Please give it a share on Twitter if you enjoyed it and leave a review on whatever platform you're using to listen. If you'd like to hear more podcasts from me and support me as a full-time fantasy manager, check out patreon.com/FPLGeneral. Enjoy the European action this week. Best of luck for Game Week 31, and I will talk to you again next Tuesday, hopefully with a big smile on my face with a green arrow for a change. Talk soon.
The Athletic.